Hello, nerds, and welcome to the Engadget podcast. I am your host, Terrence O'Brien. We have a very special, probably not safe for work treat for you this week. The big bosses are in town. Sitting to my right, editor-in-chief Michael Gorman.
What's up, y'all?
Over on the far left, executive editor Christopher Trout.
Hello, Clarice.
And hiding her face in shame next to me, senior editor Sherlyn Lowe.
She's not happy about this.
Did you just promote me? Because I'm just reviews editor.
Oh, you're reviews editor.
Well, I got a promotion, by the way.
It just happened just right now. What's up?
Well, I mean, really, you should think of that as a demotion. There's only one reviews
editor.
That's true. There's plenty of senior editors.
Oh, snap.
But it's like a dime a dozen.
The two bosses are here, so they heard it. It's official.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Somebody call HR. We're going to say that a lot today.
Yeah, we are.
I need a grown-up.
We're going to have a lot of fun later talking about online dating and sex, and it's going to be a weird show.
It is. Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. It's going to probably make Sherlyn very uncomfortable.
Settle in, y'all. We're going to go deep.
I'm probably going to cry at some point out of frustration.
God, me too.
Yeah, you and I.
I'm just going to giggle and laugh.
Yeah.
While y'all weep.
So before we get going, how are you gentlemen doing? Welcome to New York.
Yeah. I've seen better days.
Amen.
I feel pretty fantastic. We were out probably a little bit past our bedtime last night with our video director. I blame her for this.
Our producer who's sitting over there.
Uh-huh.
Not on camera. Yeah. Not
we're waving to
like
her anyway.
Yeah. We love Olivia.
Yeah.
It was a good time. And now we're going to have a good time this morning. But, you know, we got to ramp up. We got to, you know, slowly. But
so, sure. Yeah, if I'm a little shaky, it's because they didn't put vodka in my coffee.
That's it. Hair of the dog.
Do we need to fix that for you, like, right now?
If we're going to fix it, let's not do vodka.
Whiskey goes better in coffee, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Kahlua. Mm-hmm. It's morning time. Something sweet.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. I'm sticking to the water, y'all. I got to get hydrated.
Yeah.
I'll drink water, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you want to just get right to it then and have you two yell at each other a whole bunch?
Let's do the work.
All right. We are going to start this week, as we do every week, with Flame Wars. You guys know how this works. We're going to debate three of the biggest stories of the week. You get 20 seconds to make your opening statement, at which point I'll allow a brief rebuttal, at the end of which time Sherlyn will decide who is the winner, and you will get a point. And
I also want to lodge a complaint with the ethics board right now before we even get started, because I am currently in last place, and Sherlyn wants to keep me there, and I anticipate that's how this is going to unfold in real time.
I am a very fair person.
That is straight up Trumping right there.
The system is rigged.
That's what I do, y'all.
Damn.
The system is rigged.
I'm tilting the board in my favor.
Crooked Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
I hate both of you equally, so it's fine.
Okay.
So we're
just like Hillary and Trump.
There we go. Hey.
No good choices.
Oh, man.
The most hated people in the AOL office.
Yeah, that's us.
But that one's the most.
That's what balances out our
is that it?
It's the hair.
It's the hair?
Yeah, this is why people tolerate us.
Mm.
That's why I have mine up today.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I want to be not tolerated.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I would like for you to not tolerate me. Words are definitely my
real hard for Trout.
You are excellent at verbalizing your thoughts.
Thank you.
Well, since we're going to start off making election jokes, why don't we start by talking a little bit about online voting, since it is election season.
Mm,
this
yes.
is the last episode we're going to put in the bag before...
Yep.
Everybody goes out and casts their vote for somebody, and there may not be a podcast next week, depending on what happens Tuesday. We'll see.
Are you going to die at the polls?
Terrence will be weeping on the floor, just stabbing himself.
Mm-hmm. I might
much gnashing
my
of
dream
teeth,
come true,
tearing of clothes.
Yeah. Now, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh,
nuclear
sure.
war.
So one of the things that has come up a couple of times throughout the course of the election season is this idea that, you know, we should be opening access to the ballots more and making it easier for people to vote, whether that's making Election Day a national holiday, which mm-hmm. off topic, but 100% endorse that idea.
Yep.
But one of the things that has come up a couple of times.
You get a day off so you can vote?
Yeah. Make Election Day a holiday. This way everybody.
I think that people should have to work more.
Earn the vote. Earn it.
Right? Like, we should make people work 24 hours on election day. Yeah. Just try to figure out how you're going to vote.
This is why you are not an elected official.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things that has come up a couple of times is this idea of sort of online voting. And there's a couple of countries in Europe that have online voting. There are a few states that do it to some degree. Mm-hmm.
Can we establish what we're talking about when we're talking about online voting?
So there's a couple of different ways you can do online voting. There can be online portals where you have a specific identifier and you literally cast a ballot online. Mm-hmm. There are some places in the U.S. specifically where you can cast a ballot via email. Specifically an absentee ballot. I believe Colorado is one of the states that allows you to do that. So if you're in the armed forces, you print out a paper ballot, fill it out, scan it, email it back to the election.
This is going to make my job really easy, by the way, if this is what we're talking about.
It's a whole complicated thing. So I'm not going to specify any specific form of online voting.
Yep.
But I do want to know what you guys think about online voting in general. Like, is this something the United States at this point should be, if not using, at least investigating in a very serious way?
But before we get started, I would like to point out that I don't actually feel anything.
So I will do this.
Trout is ambivalent towards freedom and democracy.
Okay. I was not going to make this a knock on you, but I will say the same thing I do every week, which is that this is purely an intellectual exercise and does not necessarily reflect people's personal opinions.
Yeah.
How would that be a knock on me? Are you saying
well,
that I'm
no, because you turned it into literally that you don't have feelings or care about things.
Also, you're an idiot.
Also, you're going to lose, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh, so it is rigged.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
This is why...
That's not true.
Cheat to win. That's my motto.
Oh.
All right. So, Michael, we are going to start with you.
Okay. So I think that online voting is a excellent idea. I think that the issue here, I think you see that voter turnout is a significant issue. And if we should be, as a governmental entity and as a nation, we should want to make it as easy and as painless for as many citizens as possible to vote. That's, you know, it's a representative government. That's how you get that. Yes.
That is time.
That was just to signify that that was a terrible point. That had nothing to do with timing.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Trout, would you like to make a better point?
Yeah. I think we should make it harder for people to vote, as I pointed out earlier. I think that we should encourage voting by fax.
That is a thing, by the way.
See, but the email thing is just as bad, right? Like, if you have to print it out and then scan it and then send it back, it's not helping. And also, the internet's insecure.
It is, but there are ways around it. I think if you dedicated an arm of the government to, like, figure out a way to create a
government
system, whether you can use, like, cryptography keys and stuff like that. And the bottom line is current physical ballots and the machines that are being used are insecure, right? We already have an insecure voting system. So to me, the benefits for kind of efficiency and ease of use of that sort of system outweighs whatever kind of security risks. And ultimately, if it's something we're doing and putting resources into making it as secure as we can, I think you can do a good job of it if you do it right. Now, I don't know if our government is capable of doing that, but I think as an ideal and something that we should try to be doing, yes, absolutely, and I think it can be done.
So one quick question on that, because you talked a bit about how our election system is already kind of insecure with the electronic voting and even some of the paper ballots. There's ways to mess with this.
Yep.
But one of the big complaints from the public when electronic voting first kind of started to take hold in the U.S. was that a lot of these machines didn't have paper trails, and that made it too easy to either fake or change people's votes or the way votes were counted without having a backup sort of system tracking this. So if you're doing internet voting purely, doesn't that basically, by default, not have a backup system? And is the American public ready to accept something like that?
I don't know if honestly, I think the bulk of the American public probably doesn't think about it, and they're only worried about it because someone has told them that it's something they should be really concerned about. I think that if you address it, because obviously that's a concern that would have to be addressed by whatever system is created to actually execute this, right? So I think that there are probably ways that people much smarter than me, I'm not thinking that I can solve this issue, but like if you have like unique encryption keys for each voter, right? Like it's easy to track that. You're going to be able to see, in theory, like if there is an abnormal number of votes coming from a place where they shouldn't in a given district or something like that. Like I feel like there are checks that you could have in any system that you build to create transparency and have that kind of confidence in the system, because that's really what we're talking about, like having confidence in this system.
We're also talking about the government and the internet.
Yep.
And they don't understand technology, and I think that we have hit on that a million times over a million years.
That is true.
They don't get it, and they're not going to create the right thing, and it will be a fucking disaster. Fax machines for life.
Okay, so quick question on that front then. Barring the idea that the government doesn't get the internet, which I don't think any of us here are going to argue necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but do you think internet voting in and of itself is fundamentally insecure and not something that we can do properly?
Yes.
I have another question, and mostly for Gorman. What about access? What about people who don't necessarily have access to online voting and mm-hmm. live far away from like a poll center or something?
Well, we're not getting rid of the right. other type of voting, right?
So here's what I think. That actually, I think online voting solves that problem, because then anyone can vote with a laptop. So having a polling center anywhere in town, any civic building could become a voting booth just with an internet connected
computer.
With a
bunch
of
laptops.
So to me, again, access. All of a sudden, it should be way easier for more people to vote. And I think that, like, again, these are all use cases that would have to be accounted for, and I would expect them to be accounted for when they're whoever is building this system. And I would also say, yes, I absolutely agree with Christopher talking about, like, do we think that the government is capable of doing this as it stands right now? No, but I also think Obama has done a lot to kind of behind the scenes create a more technologically savvy government.
He invented the internet, right?
Well, I think this is one of those things that I think we'll see in hindsight after his presidency. He's done a lot of kind of back-end infrastructure mm-hmm. things that have gotten people that understand technology in a way that government didn't previously, and there's just a lot of red tape that they have to cut through. So what I'm saying is the knowledge is there. It's a matter of, is the system going to allow it to happen? Like, do we have the political will to make it happen?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to decide. I'm really torn because I don't like either of you. Or your points, because, you know. But I think I'm going to have to side with Trout.
Duh.
Bullshit.
Because there's so much there that you're saying they have to incorporate this, they have to think about that. And Trout points out very fairly that it's all going to be a huge mess if, you know, there's so much to think about, like you mm-hmm. pointed out, that it's going to be very tough to manage and implement.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that it's not impossible.
Well, and to be fair, I actually feel like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
If you do it right, I just don't think you can. I don't think the government is capable of rolling out a system, a new system,
right now,
internet-based that works.
Yeah. I mean, we do like billion-dollar business.
Yeah, I know.
We do billion-dollar business deals and transfer like government secrets and CIA intelligence and stuff in some respect over internet-connected systems, and for the most part managed to keep those secure. I'm sure we could figure out voting.
But then the DNC got hacked, and then there's all
the
of...
The DNC is different from, like, the CIA, the federal, though.
Well,
yeah. True. They're not the government, right?
They're like a club. It's like saying your local Elk Lodge got hacked.
But that would make it a lot easier for people with malicious intent to really find a way through, so...
Oh my god, this is so boring.
Never ending. Yeah, I know, I'm dead.
Alright, let's move on to something...
more fun.
Which potentially more fun, definitely a little bit more controversial.
Ooh, I love this one.
Yeah, that's Trout's wheelhouse.
Peter Thiel.
Hmm.
He's a person who's in the news.
For things
and
what,
stuff.
What exactly?
I mean, primarily for being an outspoken Trump supporter and spending a whole bunch of money to support him. I think the most recent thing was he donated $1.25 million to his campaign or something like that. We're not to his campaign directly because he
gave to the Hulk Hogan campaign.
Oh, God knows.
Over like tens of millions.
Yeah, it was an obscene amount of money.
Right.
So this is the, for those of you out there who are living under a rock, this is the guy who is basically single-handedly responsible for killing Gawker, funding the Hulk Hogan lawsuit against the site. He is also an outspoken Trump supporter. He is a multi-billionaire
libertarian.
Yeah, ultra-libertarian.
He's not even a libertarian. No. I don't think
He's
that
Trumpian.
Man does not know what the word libertarian means, judging by his speech that he gave to the National Press Club the other day, which we covered, and his interview following that.
Yeah.
He targeted Gawker specifically because he says that Gawker outed him as a gay man when he was not ready to come out of the closet. Mm-hmm. And this is why he targeted them for revenge. But Peter Thiel also happens to be on the board of a whole bunch of companies and has stirred up a whole lot of controversy because of his actions. And
specifically Facebook and Y Combinator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to leave Y Combinator out of this, but I do want to talk about Facebook. We've covered this quite a bit, but I kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts. Mark Zuckerberg has defended keeping Peter Thiel on the board. Yep. That he was reelected not that long ago to the board. Gorman, is it time for Peter Thiel to be removed from said board for Facebook?
Yes. 100% yes. I have a problem with anyone who perpetuates kind of messages of hate and fear. And I don't think that that's – I think that companies don't take enough responsibility for kind of the ethics of their business and the people that they associate themselves with.
Fair enough. Mr. Trout?
One word. Diversity. But seriously, like, you should be able to have your own opinions or whatever.
Or whatever.
I feel very strongly about that. Yeah. Also, you know, I got to side with my fellow homo, Peter Thiel. So, you know.
Yeah.
Butt stuff.
So my I have no reply for the butt stuff argument. I cannot
shut it down again.
But I will say this: diversity is good, and I know Mark Zuckerberg came out and talked about like having diversity of opinion is important. I would say that, you know, Facebook has traditionally been a more liberal kind of place, and I think that that's where they lean politically mm-hmm. as a company. That's kind of young people, et cetera. I get that
should they be leaning?
Yeah, no? That's what I was going to say.
So I would say that having diversity is important. I would say that you can find those viewpoints socially and politically without the hate speech and without that being the endorsement. They could find someone else to put on their board who brings that other...
Did he hate speech or did Trump? No. And this is the thing.
I think when you support and you speak on his behalf in a national convention when that whole program was about hate speech and xenophobia, you're endorsing that. And that sticks to you. As far as I'm concerned, like you don't get to have it both ways. You associate yourself with him to that degree and you're giving him that much money. You're adopting what he says to a degree.
But also when we start getting into who are you associating yourself with, mm-hmm. like no doubt Mark Zuckerberg's associated himself with some fucking monsters in the past. Mm-hmm. Right. And also Palmer Luckey. Is that guy's name?
Yep.
The whatever of Oculus. Yep. That guy's a fucking dumpster fire of a human being. Fuck that guy. All I'm saying is that, like, if you are there, one, are there certain opinions that are more right than others or that are more important than others is something that you have to really decide on this.
Yep.
And what are those opinions and how do you make that decision when you're a publicly traded company that shouldn't be necessarily having political affiliations, period, right?
So my rebuttal to that is that I'm a lawyer. Hate speech is a limit on the First Amendment for a reason. So, yeah, there are limits within reason, and hate is one of those things that we as a society, judicially and socially, have decided is something that we're not okay with. And that's the message that his candidate preaches. That's who he's supporting. And I think you need to be held accountable for that. And I think Facebook needs to be accountable for that. And again, they can get differing political viewpoints without that aspect of it. That's the issue that I have.
So since we're rolling out our credentials, I'm a pornographer and butt stuff.
Yeah. And that's why we're fine with that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. But hate is not okay. It's not.
It depends.
So I have a quick question, though, around this. So the whole excuse that Zuckerberg gave for keeping Peter Thiel around is this idea of diversity. Yep. And a big thing was this idea of diversity of opinions as well. But doesn't it undercut that logic if Peter Thiel's whole political stance is opposed to diversity? I mean, because
do we know that to be true, though?
I mean, if you are
just because you're supporting Trump doesn't necessarily
that is the cornerstone of his campaign.
No, I mean, it's not. It is not the cornerstone.
He didn't build his
campaign
on I hate diversity. He didn't do that.
And he's not. And
he didn't build it on that.
Literally, his first political rally was Mexicans are rapists.
Yeah.
Like he built the cornerstone of his campaign is
Build a wall.
Build a wall. It's anti-immigration. It's anti-diversity. Like, it, by throwing money
well, at... Well, we know how Terrence falls on this one.
I have never made any bones about my political views, and I have no interest in doing so.
Ralph Nader for life.
Ugh, come on. Come on.
Hey, Bill Stein for life.
But I mean, anyway. if you're throwing $1.25 million at a candidate who has largely built their campaign...
That's chump change for people.
Chump change or not, that's a lot of money in general. It's a lot of money to give to a campaign, whether or not it's chump change to him specifically.
It's also not any of our business what he does with his money.
That's fine, but what I'm asking is...
And it's certainly none of our business what he does with his butt.
No.
Well,
but that has definitely become our business,
yeah.
Right?
But that's not what my question is. My question is whether or not the logic for keeping him on the board is flawed because his own political views undermine the reason for keeping him there. If the reason for keeping him on is diversity and he's a person who... appears to be or at least supports a candidate who is clearly opposed to the concept of diversity, doesn't that undercut your argument for keeping him around?
But that's a different point of view.
Honestly, I fucking hate Facebook, so we should actually add more people like that motherfucker to the board so that
it crashes
just burns
and burns. Yeah, okay.
But, like, for real, Facebook, like, no harm, no foul. You guys are great. Love you.
Love you.
I mean, I just think, like, you can get, the diversity standpoint, you can get that point of view from someone who is not associated with hate.
Right? I'm so tired of hearing him.
I'm just saying. But, I mean, I have to admit, I was won over with butt stuff.
So really, you were done.
But you also...
There wasn't even a point in debating that.
It's also that, like, a lot of the things...
So you were right.
Said,
this is rigged against
you. No, it's
woman.
Not true.
Told you.
Can you just
let... That's why I called it out.
Let me finish. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mortified. No, because I found myself nodding a lot harder whenever Trout was talking. I'm sorry. But he made a lot of good points. There's... You can't... Your arguments... I mean, I don't know why you were arguing for Gorman, but it was a little bit flawed because, I mean, it's a very circular argument that I don't want to get into, but butt stuff wins.
Thank you.
Fair
as
enough.
As it always has in my life.
Well, in everyone's life, right?
I would hope
what
so.
What am I never
To be clear,
mind.
My personal belief is I don't really care if he's on their board one way or the other.
Are you pro butt stuff, though?
I mean, butt stuff is fine.
All right.
The real question at issue.
This is really going to go over well with our audience.
Yeah.
They're going to love it.
I can't wait to read the comments on this one.
Yep.
Oh, no.
You want to move on to our last topic for
Please.
Flame Wars?
Yep.
Please.
Uh-huh.
So pretty much while we were recording last week's episode, Twitter decided to kill Vine.
Mm-hmm.
Their 6-second looping video service. And one of our editors, Nicole Lee, wrote this great piece about how the reason Vine needed to die is it simply didn't fit in with Twitter's vision anymore.
What is Twitter's vision?
That's the real question.
I don't think Twitter knows either.
Right.
Actually,
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you guys, because I want somebody to play devil's advocate here and argue that at the end of the day, Vine had a place in the Twitter ecosystem and there was no point
that's
in
you.
Killing
yeah.
it. So, Gorman, you're going to argue in favor of...
Yeah.
All right, let's start with you, though, Trout.
We already have GIFs. It's pronounced GIF. And we don't need a fucking GIF that you have to press play on. Like, the play button is legit the worst thing about Vine, right? Like, if it would just loop and play like it's supposed to, it would be totally fine. Otherwise, fuck Vine. Burn it down.
That is a very compelling and concise argument, I think.
Burn it down. Or whatever.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, this just goes up.
Oh, no.
It's live. We're live.
Just straight.
Totally.
Yeah.
With all the butt stuff.
All the butt stuff.
Straight with all the butt stuff.
Yeah.
The Michael
Think
Gorman
about
story.
It. Yeah. That's good. I'm going to remember that.
Thank you.
It's on your tombstone, really.
Best episode ever.
Yeah.
Michael?
So here's my thing. Like, I thought it always made sense. It was like short, compact words was Twitter. This is short, compact video is Vine. It seemed like they were aligned. Just from kind of in different mediums, but kind of had the same ethos. And the short videos created some interesting things. I was never a big Vine person, but I know there was a lot of interesting, like, funny stuff happening on Vine. So to me, it's more about that going away, and that's sad.
Okay.
Do you have a brief rebuttal, or?
I don't think I have to, right? Like, I'm pretty sure I won. So.
By the way, there are GIFs that you have to press play on, so your whole point
What?
Yeah.
Twitter mobile, you have to play.
Yeah.
So not true. You just
I do
no,
on my phone.
You can pause it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
By default.
It doesn't
they don't
just
play.
Load them automatically.
Really? I'll show you one.
Thank you, Sherwin.
I was literally glued to Twitter all night last night while watching. I guess it's different on iOS. And
while watching
Android
The Big Bang Theory, yeah. Your favorite show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Hey.
Bang.
Ugh.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to just wrap it up and say that I don't like vines. And I really want to give Gorman one, but Trout.
Duh. Trout didn't even make a point. Duh. Like I said, you still have to press play on GIFs. That is the thing that happens.
Shut that down. Anyway, I won, so just...
He kind of wiped the floor with you.
I expected this to happen. This is why I called it out at the top of the show, y'all.
Are there any messages you want to send to your supporters out there?
I have no supporters, but thanks for watching, y'all.
The system is rigged.
The system is rigged. This isn't fair. This is the white man's burden. It's so hard being me.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
He just lost.
No more points ever. Just not even going to try to give you anything. You
weren't going to try to give me anything anyway, Sherlyn.
I tried.
I know where you're coming from. I see you.
It's just because he's sitting here. And mm-hmm. He's louder.
Mm-hmm.
She's just jealous of my
Is
hair.
That how you decide it's whoever's loudest wins the argument? It's like the Fox News.
It's the Roger Ailes scoring system.
Yeah.
True, I am Fox swinging.
I wonder, can we test that? Who can yell the loudest?
I would not
that.
Do
sounds
that.
Like fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Shivani shaking her
later,
head off.
Right. She's going to be not pleased. That was not good.
So as if this has not
like
already been
singing.
Crazy
Let's
and
just keep it
enough.
Off the rails, y'all. What's next?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this show is about to get even more off the rails.
Yeah.
It is time for group chat.
All right.
So this is where we kind of dig into one topic a little bit deeper. And this week we're going to do something a little bit different. Nothing news cycle related.
Strap in, folks.
Strap
You're
in.
Go real deep.
I'm largely going to just toss this to you guys and let you
so
guys
deep.
Have fun. Because I don't know what to say about, like, so we're going to talk about online dating, how technology and all these apps have, like, changed the dating world, and honestly, I know nothing about this shit. So.
Even though you got married on MySpace or something,
yeah.
Right?
So let me lay the groundwork here. I have done online dating. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had online dating profiles, I've gone on dates with women I've met online, mm-hmm. I met my wife online, that being...
Friendster?
MySpace. No, okay, literally MySpace.
Wow.
I think I've told this story before, but I'm pretty sure like one of my first messages to her was something about like who she was supporting in the primary in like 2000.
Oh, I can't believe she married you.
Yeah.
But that is also
I can't believe she married me either. Have you seen her?
She's beautiful.
Yeah. You did well for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I did pretty good.
Very lucky.
I'm a lucky man.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I met my wife on MySpace. I've been off the market for a very long time. I have never used Tinder. I know nothing about what some of the other
dating apps.
Bumble,
Coffee Meets Bagel.
I literally don't even know that.
Bagel.
Yeah, again, these are like, mm-hmm. I don't even know the names of these
Happen.
Things.
They're all the same.
Basically.
Yeah, the mechanics are the same.
Well,
just different
they're
colors.
Even the same people across all of them, too.
I've never experienced that.
I mean, I've seen some
overlap.
I've seen some, but...
There's a bunch of overlap, actually.
So I'm considering this my opportunity to get, like, a crash course in how this stuff works. And, like, at least, like, I have to cover technology, theoretically, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. my job. Mm-hmm. I should know how this stuff operates.
Yeah.
So you guys tell me a little bit of... I guess, first, what apps do you use?
I am a sort of, like, cast a wide net kind of person. I feel like you use all of the apps and hopefully you get some, mm-hmm. right? And to be fair, I use them now as sort of a replacement for pornography. Not Tinder, because Tinder's a little bit more about, like, dating or whatever, but, mm-hmm. like, Scruff and Grindr and the sort of gay hookup apps are, like, hyper-explicit. Like, you can send dick pics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for that reason a little bit
for
more.
Receiving.
Dick pics.
Not sending.
I send dick pics, yeah.
I do.
I mean, that's
I do enjoy, by the way, this is
social
not the
currency.
First time
yeah.
we've said
yeah.
dick pics on
no.
the show.
No.
But those are the three that I use most often. I've signed up for a ton of different stuff in mm-hmm. the process of researching these things for mm-hmm. stories and whatnot. But my go-tos are Scruff, Grindr, and Tinder, and it depends on what I'm looking for, right? If I want to go on a date, which I usually don't, it's Tinder. And if I want to get laid, it's Scruff or Grindr. And Grindr, unfortunately, is the one that has worked out best for me.
Mm. Why is that unfortunate?
It's like a fucking twink warehouse. It's like
explain what that is to the listeners.
A twink is like a young, thin, nubile homosexual.
Okay.
And Scruff is for like, you know, like men or whatever. I just, you know, I don't identify as anything, any category of homosexual. But I do feel like Grindr is where I get the most action.
Mm. That's where you do your best work.
Right. Mm. I'm like an aged twink or something.
That's a t-shirt. Aged twink.
All right. Trillian, what about you?
I don't like to cast as wide a net, but I started on OkCupid, and then I tried Tinder like 2.5-3 years ago. And now I'm on like, and then afterwards I went on like Happn, now I'm on Bumble.
What is Happn?
Happn's the one where like people, you meet people along your commute or something, like wherever your paths cross, then you get these cards come up. It's literally...
So it's like geolocation
based? It's like Tinder. I don't know, understand so why...
It's like sort of serendipitous. Like
it's Pokemon Go.
But yeah. For dating.
Yes. Actually, yeah.
It's a little weird.
Oh my God.
I wish it were that much fun. It's actually quite a dumpster fire, but...
Right, but instead of Pokemon, so, you collect...
Dudes.
Yeah.
It's
sure.
It's a dumpster fire. Is that different from any
everything,
other dating app, though?
And they're all, it's like fire. On that, they're all like the shitty pigeon Pokemon.
That's yes, always Pidgey, Rattata, whatever. Deep never pop. A Pikachu, yeah. Never like Dratini. Anyway, I'm a nerd.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, you're just going deeper, deeper yeah, and deeper really cuts. Deep.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so Tinder and Bumble are what I use now.
Okay.
Which one do you prefer?
They're both really crap, so.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. It's like, dating in the real world sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It still sucks.
Yeah. All right. Got worse.
And lastly, Gorman, which ones are you on?
So I've been on, I'm recently kind of entering the dating pool, like within the last couple of months, really. So I'm sort of just getting started, but I've used Tinder, Bumble, and Coffee Meets Bagel.
I've used that before, too. I forgot to
mention. Yeah. And primarily Bumble and Coffee Meets Bagel.
It's
like this really lame, like, excuse. There's, like the currency. So, like, if you want to get, like, a match or something, you have beans, which are basically, like, points or something that you have to, like, pay to, like, have get a connection with certain
words.
There's, like, an economy involved, gamification.
No, 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 no.
It's worse.
Extended metaphor.
So dumb.
No, no, no. Yeah. The crux of Coffee Meets Bagel, though, is that every day they send you one person to consider at a certain time, and then you can choose to pass on this person. That's where the currency thing comes in. Then you get to pick someone else. But every day they pick someone to show you at, like, noon or something.
Do they, is there a gluten-free version? Sorry, I don't like carbs.
I don't even know what that metaphor is referring to, but sure. I'm just so glad that
despite
us using the same app, we've never run into Gorman, which is great.
But Gorman did just run across our managing editor,
yes, I
Dana
did.
Wollman,
I
on
did.
Tinder. So
yeah.
Shout out, Dana.
What's up, Dana? I see you on Bumble.
Did you swipe right is the question.
No, it's still just sitting there. I didn't swipe either way.
So I have definitely swiped right on the most inappropriate of people because I think it's hilarious.
Do that too?
Yeah.
Like if
I
see you and I know
it.
You,
yeah.
I am going to swipe right and maybe
same.
Message you something
yeah.
terrible.
Well, that's if you match. So the person right. swipe right back on you too.
Right. Right. Well, and to be fair, yep. I'm not going to message something terrible to a coworker.
No.
Yeah.
Just friends and family.
You don't want to like get HR involved because
right?
No, it's more like
you
a practical
you were closer
joke, sort of.
With.
Right.
You really
but you know, if I see Uncle Stan on there, I'll be all, hey, Daddy.
Oh, my God.
yeah.
Okay.
Let's get weird, y'all.
Yeah.
It did just get really weird.
To be fair, I don't think that my uncle's on Tinder currently, or I don't think he's searching for me.
Maybe if you're lucky, someday you'll find out.
Oh, right. My God.
So real quick, all of you are on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's the one I use the least.
Okay.
That's the common ground, I guess.
Yeah. So you did say... Before though, that Tinder is more for dating.
Well, for gay men specifically.
Okay,
like, I don't know about what happens in y'all's world.
So that was going to be my question. My perception of Tinder has always been that it's basically a hookup app. Like, sure, people do go on dates from it, but primarily it's about like getting yourself laid and moving on.
I can
it's like
say
a casual hookup
unequivocally,
app.
In my experience, it is not that even a little bit.
Okay,
but none of them are in my experience thus far.
there. I mean, so I met my last boyfriend on Tinder. So it's not all about hookups, but it's like 99% of the time. You really have to work hard to turn it into a thing. So
yeah, and this is okay. So this is a thing, right? Where I feel like maybe I got laid more when I was in college before all this stuff than I do now using all this stuff. And I don't know if that's because
college.
I'm more picky than I was, or because I was hotter then, or
I think it's just the social situation. I mean, college is like hedonism, man. It's like you're surrounded by a bunch of horny 20-somethings all the time.
You're also talking about doing that in person, though, and I feel like it's a little it's probably got to be a little bit easier to, like, sort of grease those wheels if you have a face-to-face connection.
I mean, I'm way better in person.
And you
absolutely
know that the other person's drunk too.
As opposed to like sending basically text messages back and forth, right? Yeah.
That's my inherent problem with dating apps is that I always struggle about representing myself on my profile. I'm like, it's very difficult to tell you what I'm like. Why do I have to struggle to please you or to try to make an impression when I'm so much cooler in person?
Mm. Would you like me to fix your profile for you?
Later.
Okay, I fixed his. So
it was a focus group that fixed mine.
So yeah, when Michael, the last time that Dana and Terrence were in San Francisco, Michael was just very, very fresh out of a relationship and had just set up his profile. And I cannot tell you how hilariously bad he was doing it. Like, his profile wasn't terrible, right? But he...
I had the photos were decent, right? Was that the part? Or?
Your photos were fine. Whatever,
yeah, like,
I mean.
they weren't awful.
They're fine. Yeah. Profile was okay. The thing that got me about it was... Your approach to hitting on women on Tinder was first message, hey, let's get a drink.
Yeah.
What?
That is not how it works.
Because I was like, let me explain myself where I was. So this is coming from a place where I literally had not dated anyone as an adult person. I'd been in a relationship for 7 years. Like, and before that, I was in law school and college. So I had never been dating in like as people who have jobs and whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm on this. We matched. I'm only swiping on people that I like actually would want to get together with in person. So I assumed that, well, that's why else would they be swiping on me? So I was like, okay, we matched. Let's go get a drink and see if we actually like each other. That was my thinking, which clearly was so dumb and naive and stupid because like there's so many weird, creepy, rapey dudes. And I get that now, but I was just like, I thought this was like,
I made a similar different mistake when I got on Grindr for the first time because I too had just come out of a relationship like a year and a half ago that lasted 10 years, so I was not at all familiar with this stuff, right? Or all of the nuances of how you go about doing things. And I was at the airport, which apparently JFK is a hot spot for hookups.
I can,
And
really?
I got, apparently. It was so just like, SFO. It was just like ding, 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 ding. And I was like, oh my God, all these people, right? And somebody was like, hey. And I just, being the polite Southern gentleman that I am, was like, oh, hello. I said it, you know, like I was just felt like I needed to respond to everybody. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, the things I saw in that like 5 minutes. I was like, seriously, like, it is an assault on my senses. Mm-hmm. The things that people will just send you. And I don't know if this happens on any of the other apps, because I don't even think you can send pictures on Tinder, or I haven't figured it out.
No, you can't.
But like on Grindr and Scruff, the first message can be,
explicit.
You know, a 70-year-old butthole.
Oh. Yeah.
Ooh.
Just spread all the way open.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fun, but
yeah, I don't want that at the airport, y'all.
No,
I don't need that.
Or really
anywhere,
frankly.
Yeah.
But okay, so his opening, I get it, because now on Bumble, it's the girls who reach out first, and that's so strange to me because I'm not used to making the first move in real life on apps, whatever. So I understand where you're going with the, hey, let's go get a drink thing, because I want to be as short and sweet as possible, and then I get a chance to be like myself in person, because that's so much better.
Yeah. I like the buildup. I like to find out a little bit more about you before I commit to going on a date because frankly I don't have enough time to be dealing with your bullshit.
That's right.
And so, if you're an awful human being, I can suss it out pretty quickly.
See, so for me, I get a few enough matches that I don't have to worry about volume.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so to me, I would rather just get
here.
Like a drink or something. Like, because it just doesn't happen that often, so it's not like I'm going to be overwhelmed where I have to worry about like parceling out my time. Mm-hmm. I think, or at least not yet. Anyway, I don't. But I
maybe
don't
things
really
will
see
change
that ever
after this episode.
Probably not.
My profile photo was approved, y'all.
Woo!
For
nice. That's a good one,
Grindr.
Oh, okay.
So question here though.
No.
because you've all kind of alluded to this a little bit in that you found hooking up in college easier. You want to go meet people and talk face to face. You want to like just immediately go get a drink. This is like how you want to get to know people.
Yeah.
And
well, I've since changed, right?
Like, well, no, I'm not
like, you know, you play the game as
yeah,
it has
to no. Play. So that's I'm not arguing with the approach necessarily, but. No. So when I was younger and I was dating and I was doing online dating, I had kind of the opposite reaction. It was I preferred to have the profile. I preferred to talk to people. And like as a writer, I felt I expressed myself better in a written word. I was awkward talking to
humans.
And
then you're a disappointment in real life.
Yeah, and then, I'm a disappointment in real life.
True.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed.
Still the case.
But so, yeah, as fellow writers, you don't find it at all like easier to like put your best foot forward, tell people about yourself in like a quick profile, send a couple of messages where maybe you're able to more carefully choose your words.
I got this one.
Okay.
I actually like putting it out there that I am open to dating because this is me real life trying to meet people. I go to an event and I see anyone attractive and I spend the whole night avoiding them. That's me, because I'm a really socially awkward person sometimes. I know it doesn't seem that way because I'm so cool. But
mm-hmm. No, it's totally that way.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying.
I can feel it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot. Damn.
You're regretting your decision at the top of the show now, Sherlyn?
I already regret it.
You can't take your vote back.
Oh.
Well, that's sort of my question, though, is doesn't this like text barrier make it a little bit easier for you, or at least
as writers,
as a writer to, and I mean, I imagine we're all not just writers, but we're tech journalists. I imagine we're all not the most like, we're not social butterflies here. Probably we're all probably a little bit awkward.
Speak for yourself, huh?
Yeah.
We're pretty good at parties.
We're
right?
Wonderful.
Me too. Yeah. Olivia.
All right,
you
are now.
Yeah,
you
Olivia
are.
Definitely knows.
Were you?
We bring our A game to social situations. You know what I'm saying?
You're the only one that.
So here's the thing about sort of representing yourself, right, that I struggle with is I am a relatively unique human being, I think, and I have a hard time expressing that in a way that will appeal to a large group of people, right? Or even just a group of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know who my target audience is. Mm-hmm. When I'm writing for the website, I know who I'm writing for, right? Whether it looks like it or not, guys. Mm-hmm. I know you're out there, and I know who you are.
Yep.
But online, it's like, I don't have a type either. So I'm not like playing to a certain group of people, right? Like I don't know necessarily how to market myself properly online. I'm also terrible at like job interviews mm-hmm. and resume writing and all that stuff. Like I'm terrible at selling myself. So that's difficult. When you see me in person, you know what you're getting,
mm-hmm.
right? You can hear me from a fucking mile away. I look the way I look, and you know that that's what you're getting.
Yep.
The way that I represent myself online, I don't know. I don't know what I'm representing, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And you don't know what's going to offend someone when you put it out there. I put yesterday I tweaked my profile. I resorted to putting the fact that I work at Engadget as something that would attract the right crowd. And I'm like, all right, I'm just putting it out there. And then I also use the middle finger emoji because, hey, that's me.
There's a middle finger emoji?
Oh, my God. Since where have you been? Since years ago. Anyway.
The middle finger is my favorite finger.
So I put that on there, and I don't know if I'm going to. But the thing is, I guess it's good because it weeds out the people who are going to be offended by it anyway, and maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm a firm believer in, like, litmus tests. But like Christopher said, like, I'm not good at understanding like what people always would necessarily like in me that I would put in a profile, like what is going to be attractive to mm-hmm. them.
Do you have to download an add-on to get the middle finger?
No, it's right there.
It's there.
What?
And
we'll find it for you afterwards.
Shit.
He got it.
There you go.
Is that everybody,
your next tattoo,
Trout? Christopher Trout has just had an epiphany live on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh my God. Woo!
It's the best podcast ever.
IRL stuff.
But I would say like that. I'm not good at that. And for me, especially, like when we talk about, you know, being able to build that rapport with someone through text message, like I started out on Instant Messenger like back in middle school. So like I know like generally how to communicate mm-hmm. that way. But to me, so much of it and so much about how I get a read on a person is seeing body language and like actually being with them. And then, you know, like, whether or not they're saying that they're into, or you can see that, right?
And also,
that is very important to me. And without that kind of added layer of context, I work better with that when I have that to
your
work.
Sweater
I
also comes think from that, like, yeah. Thing. Yeah, sorry.
I also think that, like, there's a certain level of like judgment when it comes to typos and things like that. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a pretty good writer. I do it for a living, right? Like, I went to school for it.
Yeah.
I am a fucking terrible typist. Like, I'm horrible at it.
And you and Terrence.
Typos everywhere.
I can't type.
Especially
I can't
with
spell.
A soft keyboard, dude.
It's like on a it's phone. Difficult. Or if you're doing it one-handed, which occasionally I am.
Yep.
And and it's like, you know, I know that there are people that are like, if the comma's out of place, super they're going to be like super judgy, right? Yeah. But like, I struggle with that. I also, I love an emoji, but ironically. I don't know that I love it sincerely.
Yeah. And you can't tell when it's sincere or
yes.
not.
Exactly.
I don't even know if I use it sincerely. I don't even, yeah.
This is the problem, though, with online communication in general, is the nuances aren't there.
And also, on the flip side of it, the real world way of seeing and understanding a person is much better than online, because you don't know if this person is really what you're going to expect or get in real life. Whereas if you meet in the real world, like, I know Gorman is a lanky, tall dude with long hair immediately mm-hmm. just by looking at him. But looking at his picture, I'm like, is he 5 feet tall? I don't know.
Right, we're striking on the catfish situation.
Yeah, actually.
By the way, I do have that I'm 6'3 in my profile
good.
For that very reason.
I have been catfished so many times.
Aww.
And like on a vague sort of I kind of pose this way mm-hmm. to yes, make myself yes. look larger or to make this look smaller or whatever.
Playing with perspective.
And I think that like not only is the physical part, like just the do you actually look like what you're representing, yeah. mm-hmm. a problem. Mm-hmm. The other problem is pheromones are like a for real deal, right? Our hormones tell us who we're attracted to. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times like I have met somebody on one of these apps thinking, oh my God, this could be it yeah. because this guy is like legit super cool. Mm-hmm. We have all these same interests. He's hot. I show up on the date and it's just like,
nope,
crickets,
aww.
Right? And then they're like, wow, you're really loud. And I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. Wow, you're really rude.
Right?
Oh.
How about you pay for dinner?
Mm-hmm. So we are running out of time, but I did want to, because you briefly touched on the catfishing thing. It's one of the many sort of
tropes.
Not just tropes, but like one of these pitfalls. Like stumbling blocks. Yeah, the pitfalls of like modern dating and online dating.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys at least clearly remember dating pre-internet
mm-hmm.
dating.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what are the other things that you've kind of encountered that are, like, specific to online dating, specific to modern dating through apps that you didn't have to deal with anymore that were kind of, like, a shock to the system?
Well, the unsolicited dick pics are, like, were the, like, number one, like, oh, my God, this is what it's about. Like, no. Not to say that that doesn't ever happen in the real world. Like, certainly I've been flashed a dick at the bar or something like that, right? But, like, that is the exception, not
yeah.
the rule.
No.
That was shocking to me. I'm super pro dick pic at this point, though, because you know what you're getting yourself into, right? Also, if it's used...
it's due diligence.
It depends on when it's used. Like, if it's used in the beginning of the conversation, like, I'm a little hesitant to meet up with you because I think that you're leading with the dick, you know, and I'm not necessarily into that.
Yep.
When it's exchanged after we've established that we're both into it, then mm-hmm. I'm down for it. Ghosting is a thing that I didn't experience in the real world that I experienced online, and not that it can't happen in the real world, but I think that there is a sort of ephemerality to online dating that makes that a more acceptable behavior. Mm-hmm.
It's easier to do online dating because of the abundance of candidates. Like, you meet far less people you do in real life than you do on dating apps. And it's like, if this doesn't work out, it's easier. I got, like, tens of thousands of people to meet tonight anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that was really different. It makes me a lot less invested in anyone I meet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is.
And I guess that's part of the thing that makes the ghosting thing easier and more
yeah.
common.
It's oh,
just
I
like
ghost.
You have this bigger pool
I mean, like,
of people to pull from.
This is
the
thing,
so
like,
go,
there's 20 more notifications
waiting.
I don't ghost, but I know people who do and don't feel any kind of way about it,
yeah.
right? Like, I've been on the receiving end of it after dating somebody for months.
Ooh, no, that's painful.
And that's a mess.
Yeah.
I think, like, I wouldn't even call it ghosting if you go out on a date, you make out at the end of the date, and then the next day you don't call.
Mm-hmm.
That's just dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that the ghosting thing can be done. elegantly.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I think that there are places where it makes sense, too, right? Like, ghosting because you think somebody might be a little stalker.
Stalkery, oh, yeah.
Totally legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
that is this thing I've had to deal with a friend of mine who is like, he won't stop texting me. We went out once.
Block him.
Yeah. No. It's been several months. This person is still occasionally like,
followed her
on Instagram. Like, no.
Oh, well, this is another thing. So this has happened to me as well. I dated this guy for a month or two last year. And I hope he's not listening to this.
Probably is.
Doesn't matter.
We ended it because he was a messy child. And he came back. And again and again, it was everywhere. It was Facebook, it was Instagram, it was anywhere that he could. He was calling me, he was text messaging me. And then I was out of town, and I get a message from him that's like, I'm at your doorstep. And I'm like, nobody invited you.
Nope.
Luckily, ooh. I was also at that time dating a cop and had, ooh. You know.
The cop go and sort that out?
No, I was just like, should I be worried? And he's like, no, he seems harmless. Yep. But now he knows, and I'm good.
Yeah. Yep.
But that isn't something that happened to me in the real world. There wasn't real world stalking on the level.
Here's what, I haven't had, I mean, I guess I just haven't been doing this long enough. Like, I haven't been ghosted on. I haven't had any stalkery situations yet. Hopefully I never do. What concerns me about it, though, generally, is I can kind of just see how it is. I call it, like, Jerry Seinfeld syndrome. I feel like all of this massive amounts of choice you touched on this, Sherlyn, where it's like, I can feel you become oddly picky about things because you know that there is infinite choice. And when you dated people, you were much more tolerant of things. And like you were looking for the stuff that you liked in people instead of the reasons to eliminate them and move on to the next thing, which I think is a really weird dynamic that I don't think is necessarily really healthy for people. And that's like, this is what I can see it. And I think about this as I'm, you know, swiping through. I'm just like, this seems kind of really messed up because I can hear, like, I can see why I'm making these decisions very rapidly, like, because it's, you know, whatever. It becomes really superficial.
Yeah.
Do you read the profiles? Because
I hear that straight men don't read the profiles. So here's the thing. There's like a decision tree, right? Like, obviously pictures first, and then I look at the profile and like if there's
in
too much emojis that aren't used in the right way, or like you can just, I feel like I can get a sense for some people, you know, if they take themselves too seriously or whatever. But I mean, again, they might, like, people might be thinking that about me. This is what's so weird. This is why I'd rather meet in person, because profiles really, what if this person is just bad at writing profiles and this is not who they are at all?
That's why my profile is just the eggplant emoji and the martini emoji. Mm-hmm. And I think you just get everything you need to know there.
That tells you everything you need to know,
right?
Yeah. But you bring up the very philosophical question of whether you can truly find love on the dating app, because it, you know, you eliminate so much that there doesn't give room for chemistry to just grow naturally and organically anymore. And so that's why I am deleting all the apps soon.
Yeah. Really? And this is the other thing, is that, like, I have definitely done that multiple times.
Oh, I've deleted them a lot of times.
Yeah. And gotten back on them.
Yeah.
And every time I'm like, so done. I am so done with this. And then I'm like, I can't find, it's like a dick desert.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like the real world is a fucking
dick desert.
Yes, they're all taken or not great.
Can we end on dick desert, please? I want to end on dick desert.
Okay.
I think that's as good a place as any.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Never going to get better.
I got nothing.
Okay. Christopher, where can the fine people find you on the internet?
Grindr.
How can the fine people of the internet find you on Grindr?
I am at Mr_Trout most places. Mm-hmm. If you want a real dark look at my internal personal life, just find me and sign up for Grindr. And just, like, hang out in the area.
Yeah.
That's how you find me on Grindr. Yeah.
And also make sure to read Computer Love, your occasionally...
occasional NSFW column about sex and dating.
Yes. Mr. Gorman?
I am at Numison on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. Sherlyn?
I am at Sherlyn Lowe on Twitter.
Not going to hand out your...
Nothing else. Just nothing stay else away. Just if you can't connect with me on Twitter, you can't connect with me anywhere else.
Fair enough.
Dang, wrong.
The end.
True.
The end. I am at Terrence O'Brien. Lots of E's, no A's. As always, thank you for watching. Make sure to subscribe in iTunes, rate us in iTunes, or whatever your podcast app of choice is. Send us your feedback, your questions, your comments. You can hit us up at Engadget Podcast on Twitter or podcast@engadget.com. We want to know what you think. And make sure to tune in next week. But before we go, I want to leave you with the comment of the week, which comes from Heinz Paul. Clippy for President 2016.
True.
Make it happen.